What's up, everybody? All of these videos that are being uploaded will be, it's like a, I did like a little series. Didn't even realize I did that, about advertising and marketing, which, you know, I always stress are very important things when it comes to your business and brands, events, things of that nature, getting the word out. So I spoke with a lot of different professionals across the country, all the way from creative advertising services to email marketing to media buying. So if you're really interested in those type of topics, you will get a lot of good information out of these next, I would say, about 4 or 5 episodes that are being uploaded. As always, thank you for supporting Banked Out Radio Show. Make sure you continue to follow across social media. And if you want to, we do accept cash donations or Cash App donations. $Andreas Cook, AndreasCooke. And that has a BMG logo on it. Enjoy the episode.
If you have somebody who is saying it's one side, like they have a secret formula that works with all their clients, that's a red flag. I would run for the hills. I wouldn't invest in that business.
Right? Much like in a startup.
Yes, man. And let's get some of our old soldiers back out.
Musicians to be professional. They know how to talk.
To help them wake up happy. It's not about a rectangle and a price.
All right, y'all, tune in for another episode of Banked Out Radio Show. I am your host, Andreas, and I have another Zoom interview courtesy of Podmatch. So if y'all want to get some more high-quality guests, hit me up, and I'll send you my link and do Podmatch. But we have Stephanie Real, who is a brand strategist and marketing consultant and the founder of Real Brands. First of all, Stephanie has already accomplished a lot of stuff. So let's go ahead and just get that list of credentials going here. When top 40 under 40 Phoenix Entrepreneurs Magazine, a Titans 100 Phoenix publication as well. No 2020 and 2021 top women to do business in Phoenix with. So Scottsdale People to Know 2022 and the Chamber Method Sound Healer Facilitator. Is there anything else that you didn't put on your bio that you've accomplished?
I mean, probably, but we don't have to brag too much. It's good.
Well, you know, I like to give people their flowers. Then I like to show people, one, it should be inspiring to know that, you know, you can use, you know what I'm saying, the short amount of time that we have here on earth and to accomplish a lot of great things. Yeah. So, and to, you know, I believe once we find our purpose, we become so impactful. But Stephanie, thank you for coming on. Why choose marketing and go that route? Because not easy.
It is not.
A lot of businesses need it, especially small business owners.
Yeah.
But they do not understand it.
No, it's so interesting. I started marketing and I started my first business when I was 22 years old and I had no idea what I was getting into. I just knew I was immediately drawn to marketing because I love storytelling. Mm-hmm. I love connecting and I have a creative background. I did music theater. Mm-hmm. I have a journalism background. So I love the story and the creativity. Mm-hmm. And I also, I've always been really fascinated by psychology and our brains and like, and consumer behavior. Mm-hmm. And I think marketing just was a perfect mix of all of it, right?
Yes.
Know what I didn't know. Yeah. I mean, it is hard and it's always changing. And that's what I love about marketing. It keeps it keeps you on your toes.
It does.
But it is really challenging. And I love working with small businesses, but so often, you know, the small business owner, they're wearing all the hats. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to keep the business, the doors open, servicing customers. They can't figure out all the marketing things too. And the latest trend, you know, what's going on. But that was a fun challenge for me. So that's kind of what drew me to marketing to begin with. And what a journey it's been. But I think that I had the luxury of kind of being at the ground level for digital marketing. So I got to see it, and I've always been a guinea pig first. So trying it first and then seeing, you know, how can we make this work for clients? And that's been, it's just been a real mix of all the things that I love the most. So that's been made it easy, I guess, but also challenging.
Yeah, no, I definitely get what you're saying, because when I was going to school, business degree concentration in marketing. So, you know, consumer relations, the principles of marketing, marketing management, strategic marketing, salesmanship, retail, research, market communication, you know, encoding, decoding, all that stuff. I'm like, you know, it's a fascinating world. Didn't get any of that social media stuff. Because it wasn't there yet. It wasn't invented.
Yeah.
So I had to learn along the way. And like, you know, being a creative myself. And, you know, that's actually what I do. Besides podcasting, I help people with their marketing small businesses. And they're like, look, we can create reels and all this stuff and really pull people in and have, you know, those sense of utilities, right, that they don't understand. Which I love using comedy as one of them. And, you know, just making sure people have fun. And still, you know, getting the point of the message, but, you know, you got to reel them in. This ain't the 1940s where it's just traditional marketing, newspaper, TV, and radio anymore. Yeah. We have blown that out the water. We will never, ever go back to that again. But you still have people whose mindset are stuck in those dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into it. What's the best social media platform to use for a business to where it could be active right now?
You know, this is my favorite way to answer this question. It's the most frustrating answer, but it's the right answer. It depends on the business. Mm-hmm. I would recommend something different for a hair salon than I'm going to recommend for a lawyer's office or a car auto body shop, because it really depends who you're trying to reach. And I think that's what I hone in on the work that I do now is we start first with who your audience is. Who are we talking to? And then we figure out the right channels, because, you know, anybody can say, oh, you should be on TikTok, but I'm not here to tell anybody that they got to be on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah. Well, me and TikTok, we fighting or whatever. Yeah,
it takes too much time. So I deleted my account and got all this. My screen time on my phone is incredible since I got rid of TikTok.
Yes.
But, you know, and I think we can jump on all the trends and all the bandwagons, but that might not be what's right for that small business. It depends where you're, who you're trying to reach, what, you know, what their day-to-day looks like, where they are, and then we'll meet them where they are. Because that's, as you know, that's the essential of marketing. We have to meet your audience where they're at and find them in their daily routine. So it might be Facebook is the best. Yeah. It might be Instagram. It may be TikTok too. No hate on TikTok. But it doesn't have to be. And oftentimes it's a mix of a lot of things, not just one thing.
Yeah. Do you encourage your business owners to still have their own landing pages or website?
Yes. I think, and I've been doing this for 15 years now. So I'm a little bit of a marketing purist. And I'm a control freak. So I like to have ownership of things. So I still very heavily work with clients on email marketing, text messaging, and our own websites and landing pages, because social media platforms, your account could get closed. The platform could cease to exist. And if that's the only way you're connecting with your customer, you're never going to be able to talk to them again. So I want to be able to have and cultivate that one-on-one relationship. And I think when you add value and you're providing different things, say by an email or on your website or your blog or texting even, your audience appreciates that. So I think that that's for small businesses, especially, we want to be able to know that we can get in contact with our customers or people that are interested in working with us, regardless if Instagram is active or, you know, what's going on Facebook or what's happening with the algorithms or whatnot, just because that's going to be the best longevity play and how you really build a relationship, because all marketing is furthering relationships, and that's all really businesses when it comes. I mean, that's super simplified, I know, but it's all relationships, right? The handshake, right, that I'm sure exactly. You know, I still do business with people that don't even find me on social media. They're, you know, people that I've known since I started out, or, you know, that we have that one-on-one relationship first. And I think that that's a testament to relationships and doing good business more than just jumping on whatever social media trend there might be.
Yeah, see, I have this thing about trends. I tell people to stop chasing them. Set your own trends. Just
Yeah,
like I tell
exactly.
people to create your own content, create your own original content. And I'm
Yeah.
huge in that. Like, I create a whole lot of original content. But again, as a marketer, you know, my brain is always creative. So I'm always thinking of stuff. And I used to be like, you know, very pigeonholed with my ideas and stuff. And then I got out of my own way and I was like, look, I don't care if I tell everybody my idea about something, they're not going to be able to implement it the way I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that's the secret sauce for marketing and truly for branding. And when I think of branding, that's like the heartbeat of the business. That's the why. That's what sets you apart. And that is that unique originality, only the way that you can creatively come up with a concept and share it. It might not be for everybody, but truly good marketing, you want to weed out the people that aren't really relevant to what you're trying to sell or the value you can provide. So, in my opinion, that's great. I always tell clients, I'm happy to see an unsubscribe on an email newsletter, especially if I come in and we're taking over and we're doing different strategy and we get a lot of unsubscribes. I set that expectation from the start because if you have an email list and you haven't talked to them in a year, and now you're going to start talking to them every couple of weeks and, you know, sharing different value, sharing blog, whatever it might be, you're going to lose people. But those are the people that really aren't your people anyway, and that's okay.
Exactly.
And
That's the
so I
thing.
think, you know, you can have your own marketing magic or your own creativity to it. But it's going to draw in more of the people that are right for you and funnel out the people that aren't, which is the beauty of marketing.
So what are the three data points that, you know, small businesses should be tracking?
Well, if you have a website, I love putting on my small business hat and being as scrappy as possible. So free tools. And I think one of the best free tools out there for website is Google Analytics, because you can tell not only who's coming to your site, but also where they're going when they're on your site. So, you know, if they're coming, where they're entering the site, if they're coming to a blog post, if they're going to your homepage, where they're coming from. So, if they're coming from maybe Pinterest or Instagram or Facebook or your email newsletter, you can tell that. So, I think Google Analytics is often a tool that small business owners aren't using. And it's overwhelming because there's so much data. But even just doing a one-on-one strategy call, like with someone like you or I, we could easily funnel through that data and say, hey, like, here's an opportunity here just by looking at where people are going. So I love Google Analytics. That's one that I often have small business owners set up because it is free and it's a gold mine of data. And then if you do have an email newsletter, not just looking at open rates are fine, but that data is kind of inflated because some email platforms say it's opened even if it just hits their server. So it's not really accurate. I like to look at your click-through rate on your emails. So what's happening? How are people engaging in the content in the email? Are they clicking through when you want them to? And then I think if we're talking about social media, which everybody wants to talk about social media, yeah, your likes are great and your follows are great, but what's that engagement in that? I like to have reach because it so shows how the content's performing overall, but are people actually coming to your site or your offer or your website or your landing page or signing up for whatever you're offering them or getting that discount code and being able to track that? Because that's how you see that engagement is how you see if people are actually responding to what you're offering or not. And maybe you need to
Exactly.
tweak your offer if not. So those are the three that are, I would say, the most important and often overlooked, right? Because we get caught up in the likes
Oh my
or the
goodness.
shiny open rate, which doesn't mean anything. I hate to burst your bubble, but it doesn't mean anything at all.
You know, those are difficult conversations sometimes to have with business owners,
I know they don't like
because
to
they've
hear
been
it.
so conditioned to, like, you know,
Yeah.
listen to all this other stuff. And I tell them, like, look, you're good at what you're doing because you got the business, but you have to understand you're not good at the marketing. You
Yeah.
don't, like you
Well,
said,
that's
look
why
at the
they hire
data.
us, right?
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with, you know what I'm
No,
saying, you
exactly.
know, us giving you the
Yeah.
truth
I
is.
have no business taking care of somebody's car. So you
Exactly.
do you be in your area of expertise, I'll be in my area of expertise. Great.
So, why is it that, you know, marketing isn't a one size fit all then? Because I run into that a lot. First of all, I love your pre-questions that you can already answer, because I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is therapy for me.
I love it. I know we're helping. Well, because a lot of people don't understand, right? I think that that's a misconception with marketing, especially. And I know this is the case in a lot of other industries, but there's a lot of people out there that say that they're experts in marketing. And I feel like a therapist for clients sometimes because they're coming to me, they got burned by another provider and they
Oh
never
my
were really taught or
God.
informed like what
Oh.
happened, right? Or like, what their data was even telling them. I want a business owner to be educated and informed, but I approach it as I treat my client's business the way I'd want somebody to treat my business. And that's probably why I've been able to be in business for 15 years and have, you know, hundreds of brands that I've worked with over that time. Because I do care, and I want my clients to understand some things. So even just having data that we review with them and help them really be informed and educated and empowered with their data. Because I think so often, even like, you know, maybe an experience we've had with another professional where they don't explain it. So like, you know, I'm using the car analogy a lot, but I go to a car dealership, they say, oh, you need X, Y, and Z. It's going to be this much money. Nobody really understands or explains, you know, and I don't know anything about cars. Same thing with marketing. It can be a lot of smoke and mirrors. And so I like to educate my clients to know, and so that they can really understand not only what the data is showing them, but also like why we're making the decisions we're making. So that's a key part of what I offer that a lot of people don't offer. But I think with that, that's the, when we can explain that, then we can understand why what works for one business might not work for another. Because and truly it comes down to, on a very simple level, your audience is different. They have different interests. Somebody who's looking for a hair salon to go get their hair done, or, you know, even the nuance between a place that does like hair coloring and cutting of hair versus somewhere that just does styling. It's a different message. It's a different value add and different value proposition versus an auto mechanic. Yes, it might be the same person, because people that get their hair done also need their cars worked on, but it might not be. And the message we're going to use is different. So it has to be a unique approach that we take. And it all begins, in my opinion, it all begins with your business and what you offer, but then also who's the audience we're talking to, because we got to talk to them and meet them where they are, help understand what they're going through and what they need from us, so that we can make the best marketing messaging and most creative. And I love that you add humor in. That's always a great hook. But it depends. If you have somebody who's saying it's one side, like they have a secret formula that works with all their clients, that's a red flag. I would run for the hills. I wouldn't invest in that business.
Yes, I definitely tell people run for the hills and stuff like that. I also tell people that, you know, they try to ask and be like, well, okay, well, what are your packages? I'm like, no, we got to talk about goals first and everything like that.
What do you want to accomplish? I know.
And I get so frustrated with that.
Well, from my experience, you offer a package and then it's like, before you know the goals, well, I shouldn't have even shown you the package, because you actually need something totally different based on where you're at and what your date is at. That's why I started just doing an audit first and like, let's see where you're actually at. Let's look at your data, whatever you have, even if it's just, you know, email open rate, which isn't great, but it at least tells us something and we can look at engagement and click through and start to have at least a baseline. But otherwise you're just selling somebody on something that they might not even need. And that never feels good to me. I can't do that. So,
I try to explain to folks that, you know, marketing is a return on investment, right? Because you spend an X amount of dollars or whatever. And then if you have a really good campaign, that campaign can go for years.
Absolutely. And
pay dividends that way. So you end up getting something to 5 or 10 times multiple. Can you give us a generality of, like, you know, let's say they're a hair salon and they're doing $100,000 a year and they want to get to like a 250 type of income range. What would a realistic marketing budget look like?
Oh, man. That is the hardest question ever, because I think it also, for small businesses, even if I say 10% right out the gate, that can be scary. So I think sometimes it's even working up to whatever that ideal budget would be of what you want to invest back into the business. So, I feel so much resistance to even answer that question, because I think that can be really scary for a business owner, especially if they've never invested in marketing before. I mean, if you're working with a marketing professional, you're going to want to make sure that you're carving out enough budget that you have budget to pay the professional and run any ads you want to add, you want to be running too. So depending on if that's Google ads or Facebook, or Nextdoor or whatever it might be. That's one thing I see people missing where they want to invest in a professional and they're like, oh wait, that doesn't include the ads too. So I think that that's one thing that's top of mind that I feel I'm feeling like I got to say right now. But I think that that it depends. And I'm always of the mindset marketing can add a lot to a business, but it shouldn't be at the business's detriment either. So it depends like what your other expenses are, what your, you know, what your overhead is, what your payroll is. If you have rents of a physical space or employees, we got to make sure that your marketing budget fits into that.
Yeah.
And that looks different for every business too. That's where I almost put on like a business coach hat and we take a look at that and just look at what's even feasible, because 10% of whatever that income, you know, or that that surplus might be is going to be different for every business. And it, in, or it could be as much as 30% or 40%. It depends how, you know, it depends what the business looks like. So I think that that's hard to answer too. But I think simply put, it probably is more than a small business owner thinks to run a successful campaign. But I think that that also depends what other campaigns you have going. I think one of the things for those service-based businesses, a lot of times that I see where you're leaving money on the table is you don't have a referral program running. Like if your customers already love you, they're coming in every, for a hair salon, they're probably coming in if they're getting their hair colored.
I say that all the time. I've gone like, into so
why
many
are we
businesses.
Not running a referral program? Exactly. It's such an easy, easy
I did that
thing.
With the clothing store and she didn't have a referral program. I went in and she made like $400-something the very next week.
Ma'am,
all we got to do is get your clientele up or whatever. You're going to have X amount of people who are going to be your cohort, you know what I'm saying, repeats, whatever. Yeah. They'll come in monthly, whatever the case may be. You'll have some to come in like bi-weekly and blah, 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 or whatever, or every quarter and stuff like that. I was like, oh my goodness. It's, they leave a lot of money on the table.
They do. Well, and I get it, right? You're operating the business. You're not thinking about all those things. You're just trying to get the day-to-day. That's where people like us come in and can really add value. I think the interesting thing though, it doesn't matter. And I don't often recommend things blanket across the board for every business, but every single business, I don't think there's any reason you shouldn't have an email or text list for your clients. And I don't think there's any reason you shouldn't have some kind of a referral program, because regardless if you have a brick and mortar experience, you have an actual physical location where they're coming in, whether it's a clothing store or maybe an antique store, maybe you even work in the store, you're going to know who your customers are that come all the time. Why aren't you rewarding them for their loyalty?
Exactly.
They already love your business. Incentivize them to share it. I mean, I've even consulted some very successful e-commerce based businesses and we put a referral program in place and blew it out of the water, because if people already love you, why not reward them? It makes it so much, and it's not that much extra effort on your end to put something like that into place. And it can pay dividends, because the people that love you the most, they're your cheerleaders. That's the easiest marketing possible.
Yes. And then they go and find you more cheerleaders.
Exactly. Yeah, then they're going to go, they love you so much, then they probably have friends that are like them. Ooh, amazing. Exactly. No need for a Facebook ad. If people already love you, they're going to go tell people that they love about you. And those people are probably a lot like the people that love you to begin with. Easy.
So when, you know, brands are out there and, you know, they need to get customers to convert.
Yeah.
What is the most important thing that they need to do?
You know, I think I often see businesses forget that sales is a part of marketing too. So how you're treating that customer during the sales process. And that sales process is going to look different no matter what business, but there's a reason you started your business. There's a reason that you're doing it the way you're doing it, and that why behind it. And I think I have so often seen a business where, yes, you expand and you grow. Maybe you hire a team, you hire employees. That's wonderful and beautiful. But if they're not trained on how to treat your customers, they're going to lose a customer more than any marketing campaign. I can drive traffic all day long, bring people into your store, bring people to your online storefront. But if they're having an awful experience once they get to your business page or in your store, you just wasted your marketing dollars.
Yep. And then I tell people that all the time, like sales and marketing, they go hand in hand, but they're not the same.
Oh, yeah.
We can get them to the door. Can make them like, what they say, you can get a horse to the water, but you can't make
them drink.
I tell them all the time, And I think that's where the misconception comes in. Yeah. It was like, oh, well, I'll pay for marketing, whatever's guaranteed sales. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what your sales process is.
No, you still got to do it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like, and that's what I've been telling, like, you know, potential new clients and people I've been consulting with. I can't guarantee you sales. I'm going to get them to your door. They're going to, but you still got to be there. First of all, you got to be there to open the door.
Absolutely.
Let them in. I'm like.
And have some kind of process in place. I worked with a fitness brand years ago, and we launched a killer campaign. Uh-huh. It was so good. We drove over 300 leads in 24 hours. But they didn't have any system in place of who was reaching out to those leads. So it was very overwhelming for a team of two, right? Who were also running the business and running the classes and all of those things. And so then from our perspective, that was an amazing marketing campaign. We drove 320 leads off of Facebook ads in 24 hours.
Yeah.
The cost per lead was under a dollar. It was insane. It was amazing. Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. These were the good old days. This was a while. This was like 2016. This was a while ago.
Yeah.
But the client was so overwhelmed because they didn't have a process in place to manage those leads that they fired us 2 months later because they still couldn't navigate the leads process.
And that's messed up. Y'all got get the short end of the stick because you're doing a good job. Actually, a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. One, but also, we should have had a more in-depth conversation about their sales process and how they were going to handle the leads.
Yeah, I can get that. You know, it's like
always room for improvement. I'm not saying it's all somebody else's fault, but I think that's a great example of if you don't have your sales ready to hit the hit the mark and hit the ground running from the marketing campaign, you're wasting your marketing dollars. You got to have the infrastructure built first.
Yeah. That reminds me of, I've read a book, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about the Marlboro brand and where they hired a, you know, this is back in the 70s or 80s, something like that. Well, you know, Marlboro wasn't the big brand that it is now. And the gentleman who owned it hired a marketing agency and they told him, like, you know, it's going to take a year for us to move position because they're like number 37 or something compared to all the cigarette brands.
Yeah.
And they didn't change position as far as brand recognition. All right. They were number 37 the same year later. And the guy thought that they were going to get fired from the client.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, well, he was up front. He said, this is going to be a long haul, not a short win. Yeah. So when you're consulting with clients and stuff like that, do they have a good understanding of like marketing and depending on the instance and what you're going after, sometimes it might take a longer time to cut through and really define who the audience is and get that message to them.
Oh my goodness. This is, as a marketing professional, this is the, and I think any business, right? You have to set expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from experiences when I was earlier on in my career and things that you don't do, that's often, failure is often the best teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you got to set expectations. If we're working just on branding, that is an investment that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
If we're running another campaign where we're going to drive leads, we're having a conversation about what that looks like and what we should expect and what the data is showing us. That's an ongoing conversation, but it starts before we even sign the contract of, you know, this is what we can expect. This is how long it's going to take, or it might take longer.
Mm-hmm.
I say anybody, because 90 days, you really can't do much before 90 days because you need time to get the strategy in place, have it work, and then tweak it to see what you're doing differently. Because especially in digital marketing, you get good feedback from the results of, you know, how many visits you're getting to the website, if you're getting clicks on the emails or getting people to opt in to whatever your offer is, which is wonderful. But you got to have time to tweak it too. You can't just... I mean, you could set it and forget it. I wouldn't recommend that.
No.
But some people out there do that. And then, you know, that's when they come and hire us. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think that setting that expectation first is the most important. Because even doing a website project, you got to set expectations of here's how long this project is going to take. Because you don't know, people might, and this is, I think, in any relationship, you got to set expectations. You might think something. And then really, if it's going to take double the amount of time the person thought because they have no concept of what all's involved, they're going to be disappointed. They're going to be frustrated. You'll probably get fired. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's crucial, no matter what kind of marketing project you're taking on. Yeah. And as a business owner, don't mm-hmm. be afraid to ask about the timeline too. Like, how long is yeah. this going to take? What's realistic mm-hmm. to ask? I think that's a beautiful question. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know, the worst thing we can ever do in life is assume things, right? We gotta communicate about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's starting a business, right? And I don't think a lot of business owners formalize a marketing budget within the capital startup costs, right? So let's say someone's starting a hair salon. What would be realistic for them, you know what I'm saying, to expect to, like, you know, have to put out there?
Well, I think in today's world, the cost, mm-hmm. the barrier of entry for marketing, even like the cost of a website, you can do landing pages and stuff on Canva now. Mm-hmm. So I think that it is so much more advantageous for a business mm-hmm. owner today, because you don't need to hire, the marketer in me, forgive mm-hmm. me, marketers, but you don't need to hire necessarily a marketing agency to build a website for you. You could go on Canva, get mm-hmm. a template for a couple, for your Canva subscription for a month. I think mm-hmm. it's like $97 or something. Mm-hmm. Have an email program. You can start off for free with MailChimp.
Yeah.
Have landing pages in there. Mm-hmm. And that's just the tools.
Yeah.
I think for me, though, the tools and the DIY, there's a lot of courses out there that you could do to do it the right way with strategy and intention. But mm-hmm. I think having a session and even just understanding what you need, mm-hmm. hiring somebody to have a conversation about that. Hey, mm-hmm. what do I need to get started? What mm-hmm. really does that look like for my business?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that you could do it scrappy and DIY on your own, probably before ad spend,
mm-hmm.
probably about $1,000,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Maybe doing some graphics or hiring somebody on Canva or on Fiverr for some graphics or something like that. But then when you bring in, like, maybe you want a website, things like that, that can scale depending.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and then ad spend, it's so hard to say ad spend because of every industry and the competition and what time of year you're going to be running ads. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think it would actually benefit me to give you an idea of ad spend, because
if
you're launching a business in February, that's going to look different than if you're launching it in August based on, based on those numbers. So and the competition. So I think
because I've seen some people, like the financial industry and like financial good products and stuff are way more expensive than retail, capturing and stuff like that. So,
So I think I can't give you a number for that. I think that, but just bare bones to even get started of, because mm-hmm. from my point of view, your bare bones for marketing, you should have some kind of a way to get in touch with your customers that isn't social media. So email,
mm-hmm.
text messaging,
mm-hmm.
a landing page mm-hmm. for an offer of some sort, mm-hmm. Graphics for, you want to have social mm-hmm. media. So graphics for that.
You still do you do direct mail?
I have done direct mail in the last couple of years. It's mm-hmm. actually pretty effective depending on the industry. We did it a lot in, I was working in the healthcare industry, mm-hmm. In senior living, and that
mm-hmm.
direct mail still is very effective and very cost effective too, actually, which it's funny how those things come back around. These fashion trends resurface, fanny packs are cool again.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Gen Z, I think, mm-hmm. for bringing that back from the 80s. My 80s heart is happy about that. But I think our marketing trends come back too, because direct mail's here. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I did a direct mail campaign for an event company.
Oh, yeah.
And at first, I told them, like, look, the ROI, is there. You just got to let it go through the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I hit the, I was in the database and I was going through all the information and stuff like that, looking at the, high interest people, nightlife, things of that nature, income threshold they want to hit, the cities that they want to hit. When I put it out there, they the first couple of weeks, they're like, oh, I don't know about this, paid all this money. And I'm like, look, just bear with me.
Oh, yeah.
They saw it and they loved it. Now they keep referring people to me.
I love it. Well, and I think there's, something to be said for that, of doing it a little differently, because that's probably not what they probably didn't hear that from a lot of other marketers, but It makes sense that it worked. If you have the right data, mm-hmm. I mean, any marketing campaign is only as good as the data you have. It doesn't matter exactly. If you're doing an email campaign, mm-hmm. Or if you're doing a direct mail, or if you're mm-hmm. doing a Facebook ad. If you're not targeting mm-hmm. it to the right people, it's not going to be successful. Exactly. That's why I'm very anti buying email lists and doing mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, go ahead and just do a direct mail campaign, because you can get more targeted and warmer leads that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So how has it been, you know, starting a business and, you know, running it for you?
Hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard work, you know? I think when I started at 22 years old, I didn't know uh-huh. a lot. I knew yeah. I knew it was in my DNA to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful that I took that plunge. Even mm-hmm. though I started as a side hustle, I worked for other businesses for 9 years before I went out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing it safe a little bit, but we don't have to go into all that right now. But I mean, you know, it's challenging. It's a lot of lessons. It's a lot of learning things not to do, mm-hmm. learning things that are working, but then they don't work 6 months later. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of constant change. And I think honestly, the biggest thing that I have found from entrepreneurship is it really makes you confront those pieces of yourself you got to grow. You got to be really honest with yourself, because whatever you're going through in your personal life of how you're getting in your own way, it's going to show up in your business too. And that's, mm-hmm. I wasn't anticipating that
mm-hmm.
when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
but now I see it so clearly, and it's, you know, it's been an awesome journey. I've launched two businesses of my own and helped mm-hmm. hundreds of other brands launch. I'm getting ready to start my third business. So I keep on doing it. It must be mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
And it's challenging, you know? And I think seeing and being in the game long enough to see some of these trends and some of the campaigns coming back again, like direct mail, mm-hmm. you know, I think digital advertising on like Facebook and Instagram and things like that's been challenging in the last couple of years. The glory mm-hmm. days of having, mm-hmm. you know, awesome campaigns is over. I think it'll come back. I think in some forms it will. I think mm-hmm. all things are cyclical in some ways, especially if people are jumping on the other hot trend, they're going to come back to that tried and true again. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lot of, you have to try a lot of different things, and it's mm-hmm. tough. It's not easy. It is. If it was easy, everybody would do it, you know?
Exactly.
But I don't like working for other people, other than my clients. I don't like, you know, I like being the visionary and being able to set the goals and
mm-hmm.
have the business and lead the team and mm-hmm. come up with the ideas. And so I think that for me, it works really great, but I also don't think everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur either. So, because it's hard.
Yeah. What does it look like going all in? Like, what does that encompass?
You got to face a lot of limiting beliefs. I think let's mm-hmm. talk about mindset. You know, I think you got to know and have a lot of faith too, because when I had lived the side hustle life for 9 years before I left my full-time job and went all in on my business.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I left my full-time job and went all in on my business, I had no contract signed.
Mm-hmm.
I had no prospects. Mm. I just knew I couldn't. I was working in a corporate structure, and I had to give up all my clients to work for that company as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was working crazy, like 14 to 16 hour days for that business. I was sick all the time because it was so out of alignment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a leap of faith mm-hmm. to take it and say, you know, I'm going to figure it out. Or if I don't mm-hmm. figure it out, I'll figure out what it looks like for me to still have this dream and to still make this work. Mm-hmm. And so I think going all in, you have to have an unwavering amount of faith and determination and trust in yourself too.
Yeah. Because
it gets hard, and it's your friends that work for a company and got that salary coming in and those benefits, they might not get it. And they don't, I mean, they don't have to get it. It's not their life, but it can be really lonely.
Yeah. I tell all entrepreneurs, because I've been a full-time entrepreneur since 2013. Yeah. So 10 years under the belt. Woo, let's go get another 10. Entrepreneurship since 2005. I started right before I graduated college.
I love it.
And I tell entrepreneurs now that are young and, you know, getting into the game or, you know, inexperienced, you have to find other entrepreneurs to connect with, even if they're not in your industry, just so you can have someone who understands the life of an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no days off. I'm working seven days a week now.
Yeah.
people might hear the way that you explain it might sound hard, but like today, 4 interviews, I got a meeting after this.
Yeah.
It's been a field day, but it's been a fun day, and it's adding to what I'm building. So in the future, I know the dividends are coming.
Yeah. Have you seen that content on social media where it's like entrepreneurs would rather work 80 hours a week for themselves than work 40 for somebody else? It's the truth, though. And I think that that's, as entrepreneurs, we're just built different.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, having that freedom and flexibility to work on what I want to work on, to be able to do an interview in the middle of my day and then, you know, jump into strategy and jump on with a client after this and make that schedule. That's worthwhile to me. Even the 10 o'clock nights where I'm working or I get inspired by something and I jump into it.
Yeah.
But I think earlier on my entrepreneurial journey, I didn't have that community really. Hey, when we first started, and for sure, 05, 09, when I started, entrepreneurship wasn't cool. I mean, it's cool now, right?
It was like, not. It was not. It was literally like,
people thought
ew,
I was crazy
what is that?
Because I was working all the nights and weekends for my business and like canceling plans and not seeing friends for weeks at a time. I am grateful now. I have an amazing community of entrepreneurs that I've cultivated that are in all different industries. But if I'm having a tough day or like, you know, I'm stuck on something, I can take it to that group and say, hey, I'm confronting this right now and I can't figure it out, or I'm stuck, or I'm getting in my own way. Like, what's something that you do? Or like, what am I not seeing? And because people are walking a similar path, even if they're in a totally different industry, sometimes that's even better because they might say, hey, this really works for me in my industry. Even if they're in like the health and wellness space, or if they're a doctor, you know what I mean? It's just, they might be able to see it a different way and kind of help you see where you have blinders on. Cause you can get tunnel vision a little bit too. So I think that that community is I'm so grateful I have it now, but for the first 5 or 6 years of my journey, I didn't have that and it was lonely. So I think that's the golden advice. And I think the other thing I always tell entrepreneurs who are just starting out, be careful who you take advice from.
Yes.
If you don't want the life of whoever is giving you that advice or that feedback or that critique, listen to it with a grain of salt, because your family might love and support you and that's great. Or your friends might, people you grew up with they might love you and care about you. But if they don't understand that reality of where you're at or where you want to go, they might not be who you want to take advice from.
Yeah, I definitely get that. So what is one of your favorite tech tools to use in the business right now and why?
My continuous obsession. I have so many tech tools I use. I use a couple of AI tools that are really powerful. And I think that that's been really cool, especially as just like, I kind of use AI as my assistant now, which is way more cost effective and even faster to get things like lists and stuff. And like, hey, make me a list of this or research this. And that's really great. The tool I use is called Type AI. But I think for small business owners, the one that's going to be most relatable for everybody, and the one that I use so much in my business, is Canva. I mean, you can build websites on there now. Of course, your social media graphics, you can post your social media from Canva now if you have the pro account. And I just think it gives you that professional look and it doesn't cost that much.
Yeah.
And it can make such a big difference for your business. And it's a tool I use every day for my business or for clients' businesses, which is great. That and the AI tool that I use are two of the best.
Yeah. So how big is your business right now as far as like, you know, is it just you and a couple, you know, employees, or, you know, have you built it up to like, you know, a team?
Well, so I had a full service marketing agency. I actually closed that business in 2023, which was really challenging to do because I had tied my identity to that business. But at the height of that business, we had 8 employees all over the country and clients all over the country too.
Wow.
And now I am a little bit more bare bones. I have a couple contractors that work with me for things like design and copywriting and some of the more tactical pieces of the work that we do.
Yeah.
And then I do all the strategy. for the branding and the messaging and bringing together marketing plans. That's the part that I've always loved the most.
Yeah.
And then I help connect clients with like website developers or social media specialists, people that are going to run the day to day for them. Cause I never enjoyed the day to day. And it really wasn't in alignment for me to run. I had worked for other people's marketing agencies and didn't love it. And then I went and I built a marketing agency for myself, which was, I mean, great. We were really successful. I won a lot of awards and did, you know, a lot of really great things, which is great, but it just wasn't right for me. So I'm more of in that consulting space now and have a handful of people that I bring in when I need them, but I get to focus on what I like to do, which is so much more fun.
Yeah, I definitely can see that where, you know, along the line, you build something and you get it to a certain level and then you're like, you know what, I don't really need all this anymore. I'm not in that part of the phase of my life anymore. Let me just like, you know, start, you know, hacking it down and stuff like that. But even in that, you know, I'm saying there's a lot of experience, knowledge and a journey.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That could be turned into, you know, other stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling
you. Well, because once you build one business, you can do it again easily. You already have the roadblocks for it.
Exactly. I love it. Let's see. I'm like, we talked about a lot of good stuff.
Like,
I could be on here for hours and stuff, I but I know that, you know, say you got to finish your work day. Yeah. I got to finish mine.
Yeah. I know. The life of an entrepreneur, always doing something.
Exactly. Would be something that, you know, you would like to leave the audience with, if anything, you know.
Oh, man. You know, I think small business owners, entrepreneurs, we are such a special breed. We see it. We see it. We see something that we want to do differently. We know that we can. We know it's on our heart to do it. And those are the kind of people I love being around. I love working with. And I think that it's just, it's so special to get to do that. And I love, I'm going to bring it back to something you said at the beginning about not following trends. Is that trends are great. I'm not here to tell you, you got to get on TikTok. I'm not here to tell you, you got to dance on camera to be to on trending audio. Cause I don't think, I think that those are kitschy and that might get you a lot of views, but I don't care much as much about the views as I care about what's actually going to bring customers to you. And the number one thing for marketing is doing what you say you're going to do. Honoring that trust you have with your customers and continuing to build that relationship, whether it's through your marketing or through that in-person experience. So those are the, you know, you can get caught up in all the trends, but let's keep it dialed back and back to basics of what really matters in the business world. And it's being good to people, doing what you say you're going to do, doing a good job and honoring that relationship. And if you can remember those things in your business, it doesn't matter what's trending, you'll continue to do good business.
Exactly. I love it. See, I'm going to have to use it and slice it up and just keep putting it out there and let people know, because I say this stuff and sometimes it falls on deaf ears.
I know it does sometimes.
So when other people say the same thing that I've been saying all this time.
Yeah. You're like, hey, listen, we're both saying it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But Stephanie, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time. You. I've enjoyed this. I would do it all day long if I could.
I know. We could talk shop all day. I love it.
Exactly. If people want to like consult, look up things, find whatever information they need to find, where would they need to be going to?
The easiest is going to be to go to stephaniereal.com, and that's R-I-E-L. And that'll link you to my, to Real Deal & Co. and the consulting agency, some of the one-on-one work I do, and updates for the new business that's going to be, launching later in 2024. So
that's the best place
to find it. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. And as always, y'all can go out here. You can support all the different businesses. We bring on the platform, look them up, consult with them, whatever you want to do. If they have items to download and stuff like that, freebies, get those as well. Keep following the platform, social media, website, bankthatradioshow@gmail.com.